Fancy a game?
Tyler Bischoff is...
And are they both trying not to laugh at the word duty?
Yeah.
Technically correct.
Why is she speaking?
Because
like...
they learned English from Professor Magoo over there.
Relax, we'll be in and out. Anyway, you've never seen my lab.
Oh, great. I get to see your nerd lab.
What's up?
Hello! Chip on the shoulder. Eric Winalda will be in studio. We'll fight with him. Golden Knights, they play the Coyotes tonight. Gallant is doing so much coaching. It's crazy. Someone finally wants the Raiders, too. That's exciting. City is like, yes, please. Two cities are like, yes, please. Give us the Raiders. But UNLV plays tonight, and they play Air Force. By the way, we're going to give away lights tickets with Eric Winalda. Hopefully you listened yesterday when we told you how you could win lights tickets, because it's too late now. But UNLV plays Air Force today. And the big question for UNLV is, can they hold Air Force under 100 points? Because they gave up 106 last time they played Air Force. Fun fact, Air Force has only broken 80 points one other time in Mountain West play, aside from the 106 they scored against UNLV. And they scored 81 in that game. So they scored 25 more points than their other season high against UNLV. Still incredible. Actual breakdown of this game, it's going to be different because UNLV didn't have Mbaki Zhang in that game. They did have Jonathan Chamwechachua, but they chose not to use him very much, and they went with Nick Blair at center, and Air Force attacked Nick Blair. They had Ryan Swan post him up. Ryan Swan went for 22. Presumably, UNLV is going to go with Mbaki Zhang at center, and presumably they're not going to throw Ryan Swan in the post against Mbaki Zhang. They still could. Zhang is a good defender, but he's not necessarily a great one-on-one post defender. But the problem for UNLV with Ryan Swan is that he plays the center position. He can post up Nick Blair and score, or if you throw Mbaki Zhang out there, he can just run out to the three-point line and shoot.
Yep.
He doesn't shoot a ton, but he's taken over 53s this year, and I think he's hitting like 33%. So he shoots enough and makes enough that you're like, oh, yeah, we need to guard him. So, like, he could be a genuine problem for UNLV, regardless of who UNLV puts at center. But they're not going to give up 106. Like, there's just the Air Force won't be that good again. I am curious, though, how they defend them, because Air Force could score 96. That could still happen. Noah Robotham said after Fresno State that he expected the defensive game plan to be simpler this time versus Air Force compared to last time. I guess I would expect they're going to stay with the midline defense we talked about yesterday.
You have to.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm reading between the lines of what Menzies is saying, maybe I should ask him outright to stop reading between the lines. But I think...
What'd he tell you?
I think he's putting this defense in because he wants it to be good, basically, for the Mountain West tournament. And he's going to, you know, suck up and deal with the growing pains of it right now. If that's the plan, you do it against it. You do it against everybody because you're just saying this is the defense we run. It doesn't matter who we play. So I would assume that's what they do. It's not the greatest defense to run against Air Force because you'll give up a chunk of threes and Air Force will have shooters on the floor. But I still think it's probably a good thing to go to because it'll limit the layups because you'll have guys in the paint and you'll presumably have Mbaki Zhang playing more to help protect the rim. But if you go back to that loss to Air Force, UNLV, they didn't really get killed from three. 9 of 20 was what Air Force shot from three. That's like 45%, but it's not like a crazy number of threes that they made. They got killed inside. So in college basketball, the average field goal percentage on two-point shots is 50%. Air Force in that game made 66% of their two-point shots. Like, the reason they scored 106 is because they got a ton of layups, is because they got a ton of points in the paint. So UNLV, they won't give up 106 if they play the midline defense and if Mbaki Zhang gets a lot of minutes, because they're going to be more solidified inside. They play that midline defense, it should be better. Now, if Air Force comes in and hits 17 threes, yeah, they might give up 106 because of that. But I think that's sort of what you go
okay,
with.
But if you give up 17 threes, unless you make 18, aren't you losing that game nine times out of 10?
I think that's what you go with if you're
We're going to beat them with long twos.
I guess what you go with if you're UNLV. You go with that defense, and if Air Force hits 17 of 33s, then you say, all right, we lost again to Air Force. But you say you're not getting layups, basically, at the end of the day. So bigger picture on UNLV basketball this season. The way that I want to be evaluating this team this year is how they do against that second tier of the Mountain West. They just played Fresno State, and they lost by 18. So, Mountain West teams with a 500 or record better in conference play. This is their result so far. An 11-point win at Boise State, 17-point loss to Nevada, 17-point loss to Utah State, 17-point loss to San Diego State, 18-point loss to Fresno State. One win, four blowout losses. At least with Fresno State, they had the lead. They had the deficit down to 5 at one point in the second half. So it wasn't just a complete blowout in the second half. There was at least a competitive moment. But they really haven't been all that competitive against the top half of this conference, with the exception of the win at Boise State. The main problem is the defensive side of the ball. Spent a whole show yesterday talking about that. But they haven't actually shown they can score against a good defensive team yet either. Three-point shooting is what their go-to is. Fresno State took it away. I think UNLV, what, they take 15 threes in that game after, I think it was like 7 straight games of over 20. Like, they were shooting close to 30 threes a game, and then they only took 15, and they only made 3 of them. So, like, I love the smaller lineups. I love the small ball and the spacing and the three-point shooting, but they haven't really shown that that is effective for this group against the better defenses in the Mountain West. They've only really shown it against teams like Air Force. I mean, that's the thing. Like, when they played Air Force, UNLV had a great offensive day. Like, they were really good on offense. They just gave up 106 points. Like, they just could not get a stop at all. So, but I guess as far as...
There were lots of charges that were not... No one set their feet.
I guess the struggles against good defenses is, like, to be expected. Because, like, UNLV's
they're
not...
good.
Like, yeah, UNLV's not a great team this year. And when they play good teams, they struggle on offense. If you go to the defensive side of the ball, they struggle against everybody. Like, that's what's the concerning part about the defense, is that they can't stop anybody. Whether you're a good offense or not, they just cannot stop them. So, I guess it's hard to, hard to do if you get stumped every time you play good defense because your offense isn't as good to outscore the bad teams. But even with, one last point on UNLV basketball, even with the losses to the best teams, UNLV is a good bet to finish 5th in this conference. Nevada, Utah State, Fresno State are top 3. San Diego State right now is 4. UNLV is only a half game back, and they play San Diego State, so they could catch them. But UNLV 6-5. They're tied with Boise State for 5th. And Air Force, by the way, is 5-6. They're only a game back. So if they lose to Air Force, they'll be behind Air Force in the standings, and Air Force will have the tiebreaker. But if you look at remaining schedule, UNLV is in really good shape. They play Nevada once more, but they're done with Utah State and Fresno State, right? They do get Boise State and San Diego State again, but both of those teams come to Vegas. And then it's Air Force, San Jose State, Wyoming, and Colorado State at the other 4 games. Take Boise State. They have Fresno State left. They have Utah State left. They've got to go to San Diego State. They've got to go to UNLV. Even they got to go to New Mexico, which occasionally New Mexico plays well down there. They've got 2 games against the worst teams, but only 2. Air Force, Utah State, Fresno State, Nevada, UNLV, Boise State, all left on their schedule. San Diego State still has to play Nevada twice, and Utah State and Fresno State. So all of that is to simply say UNLV has the easiest remaining schedule of the teams that they're competing with for sort of that 4, 5, 6, 7 range.
Are we back to the asterisks?
Back to the asterisks. Yes, absolutely. But that's, I mean, UNLV, by far and away,
we're bringing it back,
the easiest schedule of any of the teams in that group of sort of 4 through 7. And so if UNLV, like, it's something that this team hasn't done a ton of this year. It's something that UNLV fans are probably tired of hearing between football and basketball. But if they, like, take care of business against the bad teams, they're going to be the 5 seed in the Mountain West Tournament, maybe even the 4 seed in the Mountain West Tournament. They're going to get a first-round bye in the Mountain West Tournament because, A, this conference is really bad. UNLV has as easy of a schedule as you could possibly have because they only have to play Fresno State and Utah State once this year, where everybody else pretty much has to play them twice. Like, it's as easy as it gets. And UNLV should benefit from that when it comes to the Mountain West standings and the Mountain West tournament and the seedings for that tournament. It would be an ideal situation to get into the 2-3 matchup in the Mountain West tournament because then you don't play Nevada until the final. But getting in the 4-5, you get a bye, and I guess you hope you upset Nevada in the second round. I mean, that's what you're setting yourself up for. But there's a very solid chance UNLV doesn't beat a team with a above 500 record in conference play and they end up as the 4 or the 5 seed. There's a very solid chance that happens, that they don't beat a single team that's any good and they end up as a 4 or 5 seed in the Mountain West tournament. I guess you take it if you're Marvin Menzies. I mean, that's what you're pointing to at the end of the year is, yep, this is what we did. I mean, I said at the beginning of the year, this team hasn't, they've been 8-10 like every year in the Mountain West for the last 5.
If there's some weird seeding and it works out where Nevada winds up on the other side of the bracket, and
they're winning the whole thing.
Well, UNLV at least makes it to the like final round of their conference tournament, or of the conference tournament. Could we still get an NIT bid?
NIT, probably not.
Darn it.
Yeah, the NIT is hard to get into now. It's an exclusive group.
Well, what other
tournaments are there?
Yeah.
Well, UNLV won't play in them. They're too good for the CBI or the CIT. Too good for
them. Are they?
No, but they think they are. And you have to pay to get in those, so. Technically correct.
Yeah, no.
We got Eric Winalda in studio next. Make sure you have the Be Connected Sports app downloaded. It is the easy-to-use app that lets you bet before and in-game while you watch. It's the Be Connected Sports app from Boyd Gaming.
Check out the podcast on lvsportsnetwork.com.
Hey, it's Tyler Bischoff. Want the easiest way to bet on sports in Las Vegas? Download the Be Connected Sports app for free from the Apple or Google Play stores. Then head to your favorite Boyd location like the Orleans, Gold Coast, or Sun Coast to create an account. And with just a $100 deposit, you'll get a free $50 to wager. Then you'll be able to bet before or during the games you love to watch. Plus, if you use Pay Near Me, depositing money into your account can be done at 7-Elevens, Family Dollar Stores, or CVS Pharmacy. It's the Be Connected Sports app from Boyd Gaming.
Tyler Bischoff is...
Some of these guys have been told that they're not good enough. Clearly they are. So for them to score 5 goals, for them to have even the ones that came off and the way they celebrated with their teammates that did, we're still on the field. We're a pretty goddamn good team already, so this is pretty cool.
Technically correct.
Eric Winalda, manager of Lights FC, is in studio. I got to do a live read for you. You'll enjoy this one, okay?
Go ahead.
Have you ever wondered what it looks like inside Bischoff's briefs? Thanks to Manscaped.com, it looks phenomenal.
Oh, good God. So you saw that I brought you some socks today.
You did.
I brought you the official game socks of the Las Vegas Lights.
I've wanted a pair of these for a while.
But my problem is with your little bony legs. I think these might be stockings.
They might go all.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
Because I know you're a sock guy. So okay, now we have to figure out what the bet is.
Okay.
Whether you have to wear these for a week.
Every day for a week.
Okay. Can you do that?
Yeah.
You have to sleep in them.
Can I take them off to shower?
Yeah. It's the only time I'll allow it.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
What do you want to bet, though?
That we beat Colorado.
That you beat the Colorado Rapids. Yeah. Just straight up beat them.
Yeah. No score line, no, you know, over under.
I mean, it is Vegas, though. You can be more fun than that.
I know, but it's probably better if I don't.
You just want to straight up beat Colorado.
Yeah.
So what happens if you don't? Like, what's the other side?
That's
of
the
bet?
Other question.
Oh, I have to come up with something for you. Okay. Yeah. So I need to come up with socks that, like, have my name.
You got
on
a couple
it.
Of days. You okay. know, I mean, I don't care. Problem with socks. There will be no manscaping involved.
No, nope. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, I don't need it.
By the way,
it's too late for that.
You should go to manscaped.com.
Really?
Code ESPN. You get 20% off and free shipping.
So this is something I should probably look into.
Yeah, manscaped.com.
Okay, so this is a sponsor.
Yeah, it's a sponsor. Yeah.
Okay, so
no, it's a real line.
It's a real deal. Oh, okay, good.
It's a real thing. We didn't make it up for you.
All right. So manscaping.
Well, it is called the lawnmower.
Yeah, it is called the lawnmower.
Okay, all right. What are we talking about today?
Well, why do you hate UNLV basketball?
See, this is I remember who was it that came at me? Because I don't hate
a couple people did.
Yeah, I don't. I have nothing against.
Was it Las Vegas locally?
Yeah, Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think I got to have a coffee with that guy. No, I was at the game. I wanted to see it. You know, I wouldn't. But you're the one that, you know, referred to the attendance, and then I came back and I said, well, if using your logic, I should just leave now because I don't know who these guys are. Yeah. And then that's not taking a shot at them. I think the shot...
It kind of is.
No, it isn't. The shot was when I said, well, we won this weekend. How did they end up? And I actually didn't know.
You didn't know what
I didn't
did.
Know the final score. I knew it was pretty bad at half. It was 10 at half, right? How bad was it?
Yeah, it was 10 or 11 points at half.
It was 10. And the kid missed the 2 free throws right at the end. He could have made it better, but...
I don't think it would have mattered.
I like number one. Is it Clyburn or Clyburn?
Chris Clyburn.
Like him.
I like him.
He's a shooter. He's lefty. It always looks better with your left. And he just looks,
They've
he moves like a soccer player.
On that team.
Yeah, but he stood out to me. Number one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One, three, I watched the game. Yeah.
Well, I mean, half of it. And then you left.
Correct.
You hadn't heard it.
Well, it's more than you watch when it comes to soccer. So, I mean,
well, yeah,
I guess I've got
been,
you. I've got 20 minutes, 20 more minutes than you as far as spectator. When are you going to come to a game? Are you going to come or what? Last time you had to work.
I won't be there on Saturday either.
Okay. And according to you and your Twitter account, the games don't really count until March 9th until they're on TV, right?
Is that correct?
Okay.
Correct. Because see, if these games were on TV, I'd watch them on TV, and then
okay,
I'd be able to tell you for now, sure if Toronto FC
before
was
don't
terrible.
You're not allowed to look down. Do you know one of the names of my players?
Irvin Parra.
Okay.
Was there more to that question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Two. Do you know anybody else?
Yeah, Thomas Olsen.
Hey, he's local. He's last year.
Angel Alvarez.
Out last year.
Oh, you want the guys you signed?
Yeah, no, anybody. You got Irvin Parra, which is great. It's only because he did have a stat behind him that made it made sense to you.
Yeah. Yeah, so you want the guys you signed.
No, anybody.
Like Sammy Ochoa, you didn't sign him.
I did not sign.
Yeah, so you want the guys you signed is what I'm saying.
You don't know any.
Yeah, Alex Nkari Harley, whatever his middle name.
Niarko.
There's a weird thing
Niarko.
Going on
good.
With his middle
name.
All
right, because you're going to like that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's good
I
enough.
Hope I'm going to like that
That's
guy.
All that matters. But I just was curious if there was any.
Lucas Scaglia.
Nice. Now you're.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just had to fill for a couple of seconds asking you. Oh, you mean
he's
you
going,
guys?
I
your
can
guys,
see
your
his
guys.
Like, computer working as he's looking at me. He's like
Javin Torre. Javin Torre.
Yeah. He said like jab in like Javin.
Yeah, I like it spelled. But
okay.
Okay. I know some of your players' names. I don't know anything else about them.
That's great.
Is Steve Nash going to be one of your players?
You saw that, huh?
I did see that.
You know
that
what? I wouldn't. You know, I've seen Steve play soccer. He's got a brother that's pretty good too. Over the years, we were always fascinated with that. He's a good dude too. So he's Canadian though, right? Yeah.
Does that matter?
I don't know. I have to look into the visa rules. I mean, if I have to, you know, if he has American citizenship. No, I'm just look. I think Steve Nash could have played soccer if he wanted to.
For anyone that doesn't know, Eric reached out to Steve Nash on Twitter.
Yeah.
Suggesting he come play for the Light so he could call himself a real two-sport
athlete.
Yeah,
I think it'd be cool.
Did he respond?
You know what? I actually would also. There's only one player, in my opinion, right now on the women's side that I would entertain the idea of giving that a shot. Tobin Heath
playing for you.
Yeah,
you're gonna go sign
Tobin Heath.
Heath
is good. I don't care. A lot of people don't like her because she. You
people
know.
Don't like Tobin Heath.
Yeah, it's like when you talk to real like when you go behind the curtain with it or analysts and stuff like that. There's a bit of jealousy there from some of those women and because she's that talented. But I think she tries to do this or she tries to do too much. I'm like I like that. I like the not just for the entertainment value, but she's talented.
So you're gonna sign Tobin Heath.
Yeah, I got to deal with Merritt Paulsen, which that might not go very well. But no, I don't know if
Tobin
I'm going
Heath
to, but I would be open to that
I'm
conversation.
On it.
You should. So, what position does Steve Nash play? Can he play midfield next to Tobin Heath?
I think. Well, I mean, you have to take all of the conditioning side of this to it. I mean, basketball is.
He's also you 45.
I know. You play for like 4 minutes and then tops, and then you come out and you get a water break, and then somebody throws a towel on your face, and you got 3 minutes to recover. And then you do 20 more.
Yeah, but you actually have to play for
those
4 minutes. You don't get to watch your teammates on the other side of the field.
Right. But it's 20 minutes. I mean, it's 20. There's 20 breaks. I mean, it's a different kind of fitness.
Yeah.
And then real minutes in the NBA is anything over 30. That's
yeah, they play
with
20 games.
Breaks.
They play 82 games, not 30 or whatever you guys play.
Yeah. We run for a lot longer than that.
Yeah,
consistently.
I know.
It's harder.
Sometimes. If you played the same
All
amount
the
of games, it would be harder, but you don't.
Well, we practice harder than any basketball player ever plays.
Oh, okay. That's a good
That's something to take into consideration.
You practice harder than any basketball player ever plays.
Correct.
So if your team is too tired come July, it's going to be because you practice them too hard. I'm lining up the opinions already.
That's a good setup there. Yeah. No, that's my team will be fit.
Do you need me to be the chip on your shoulder?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I already have the rock
Cause
of Gibraltar on my shoulder.
It does feel like you're using me, is that?
You feel like I'm using you?
Yes, because you talked to, what was it, usoccerplayers.com?
Yeah.
And you referred to me as a skeptical journalist hating on your team.
I didn't say hate.
That's correct.
No, no, you just put words in my mouth. See, that's, you can't do that.
You did call me a skeptical journalist.
You are a skeptical. What are you? I didn't say cynical. I should have.
You should have.
Yeah. You're more cynical than you are skeptical.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you went out of your way to bring up a conversation you had with me to other people.
No, it was a good story. It was.
Is it? Okay. You just like your comedian line.
No, I think you like being involved in the conversation.
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
That's
very,
okay.
Very pleased with this.
No, I love our conversations. Yeah. I do. I am not the enemy, and nor are you. We're okay.
I have some audio I want to play for you.
Okay.
This is, you beat Toronto 5-1.
Yeah.
Like a week and a half ago.
Right.
And their manager Greg Vanney talked after the game.
And this is Greg?
Yeah, here's something Greg had to say.
Oh, okay.
And we came out to a team and played a team today with that was playing for a final. Like, they were flying on their challenges. They were in it to win it. And I thought, you know, as that started to happen, we didn't match the intensity.
Okay.
You take that as a compliment? You nodded as though you were pleased with that statement.
But no, I think he's correct in what he said. I think what happens a lot, and the reason why our country is where it is that there's a whole lot of complacency when it comes to the scenario that he's dealing with right now. There's a lot of turnover right now. I get it. Giovinco didn't stay. Josie Altidore couldn't play. And there's this feeling that we're the top level, so we're just going to come in and roll these guys. And, you know, my guys were motivated. And we could have the same conversation, you know, 6 months from now. That's the way my team's going to play. I don't care if it's tiddlywinks or it's a little game in the back, you know, parking lot. That's the way my guys will play. They want to fight and they want to win at all times.
So how angry were you with so many people saying that it was just because Toronto FC was terrible that you beat them 5-1?
Well, somebody else was out there making them look bad. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think what the way that these games work, especially with a team that had the mentality that they exuded in the game, was that, you know, we're just going to play our game and we'll be fine. And if the opposition, meaning us, respects you or gives you the respect that you think we should, then they can play. And we did that for the first 20 minutes. And that was by design. That was intentional to let them grow into the game and feel like they were
going to. You're setting them up. You're being a ringer.
Yeah, this was somewhat of a sandbag here. I mean, we let them think that this was going to be an easy day, and then at about the 20-minute mark, we...
What if you had given up, like, 3 goals in the first 20 minutes?
Oh, that wouldn't happen.
Oh, okay. No. All right, yeah, of course not.
Of course not. Okay. Yeah, that's, you know...
Same strategy against Colorado, or is Colorado knows now that you're playing for...
No, I think this is 2 weeks removed from the result when the game happens. So there, a lot of teams have had a chance to, one, look at us in a different light, but also teams will be a little fitter and a little bit more in a rhythm. So I think it was clear in that particular game that we could identify where their weakness was and exploit it. So, and I'm not trying to, you know, for what it's worth, we hit the post 5 times. We scored 5.
So it should have been 10-1 is what you're saying.
It could have been worse, yeah.
At least 8.
Yes, and that's something that if you watch the game, you know, our guys, the only good news in that is that, you know, my players are disappointed in themselves that they didn't finish some of those opportunities. So, look, I think Colorado is a whole different challenge. Timmy Howard coming we're going to honor him. I think we've got something fun planned for that. This will be his last year, and I think we you know, I don't know if he's going to play. I'm hoping he does. But we'll take a different approach in the sense that we'll get after it a little bit quicker. It'll be a very fast start, and we don't care if they know that. Deal with it.
All right, we need your help.
Yep.
You guys play Colorado Rapids Saturday, 2 p.m.
Right.
We have tickets to give away.
Yes.
We asked for jokes on Twitter and Facebook.
I saw that. And
yes.
Was there anything any good?
That's for you to decide. You're
going
to choose. We have 5 pair to give away.
Okay, so that's right. I remember this. Okay, so
you're going to choose
who wins.
Which ones are the best? I picked out 9 here because some
9.
Of them.
Okay, go.
Some of them didn't make.
Wow,
a lot
let's
of
get
sense.
Through this.
All right, most of them are short. First joke.
Yep.
From Facebook, from Greg Baca. What are the Lights FC?
Okay. What? What's the joke? What's the punchline?
That you're irrelevant and nobody's heard of you.
Okay, so that's it.
Yeah, that's the joke.
Okay, that's the joke?
Yes.
Okay, that guy's not getting tickets.
All right, who's not
next?
Getting tickets? All right, This one is from Gregory on Facebook. What do you call an Englishman in the knockout stages of the World Cup?
What?
A referee.
Oh. Okay, who said that?
Gregory.
Okay, of course, Gregory.
All right, so you
get
like
it
Gregory.
Down your neck, Gregory.
You don't have to give out tickets yet, but you like that
okay.
one. Okay. All right, Ed Miller, this is a similar vein as the first one. What is the next professional sports team to fail in Las Vegas?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, no tickets for that.
No. Okay, all right. Yeah. This is from Carl. How many Liverpool fans does it take to change a light bulb? None. They just sit around and talk about how good the old one was.
It's witty. But,
witty?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now these are the ones from Twitter.
We're still sticking with Gregory. I like Gregory.
You got five to go. You can pick more than one.
All right.
Okay. All right. This one is from Twitter.
Right now, Greg gets all five.
Oh, so okay. Greg has 10 tickets coming his way. All right. So this is from Twitter asking for jokes. UNLV basketball.
That's just the joke.
Yes.
That's not fair. Don't do that.
You were the one taking shots at
him. No, I was not taking shots at him. All right, so you know what? Okay, who's that? Because that guy's getting a ticket.
Jamal.
Okay, Jamal.
Jamal gets a ticket. All right.
It was a misunderstanding. Come to a soccer game.
All right, this is from Brian Dunn. He says, my twin daughters have a few. What's a golfer's favorite sandwich? A club.
Nice.
What did the money name his kid? Buck.
Buck. I'm a dad. That guy gets tickets.
Yeah, I figured you'd be a softie
for that one.
If he's got twins, he's going to have to buy another ticket. So, you know, you make money on the front.
You know, I wasn't going to say that out loud, but thanks for making me look like the...
My bad.
Yeah, all right.
This is from Jacob. What has more class than the Lights FC Twitter account?
I did see
a student-athlete who doesn't care.
Yeah, let's get that guy a ticket.
All right,
He's got a point.
It's pretty good.
He's got a point. There was some silly stuff that happened that I'm just glad it's over.
All right, we've given out three or four?
That's three.
All right.
No, Greg, Jamal, twins, and then that guy.
Okay.
So that's four. So we're doing well.
We have two jokes left.
Okay.
This one, I don't know if you'll get this one. This is from Harmonic Lotus.
Is this a millennial thing again?
This is just a recent Las Vegas sports thing. I don't know how much you pay attention.
Okay.
The Aviators logo.
I know the Aviators logo. They left a lot of stuff in our locker room, so... Do you think it's a joke because it's the alien head or whatever?
No. They changed the Aviators.
Oh, the Aviators.
And they have a new logo, and it's probably the worst 50. Logo that's ever been
I haven't seen that. I've only seen the old one. Okay. I've seen with the egghead.
I thought you might not get it. All right, and then here's this one. It's kind of a shot at me, but I don't know how well it's constructed here. Knock, knock. Who's there?
Yeah.
Tyler Bischoff.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no one's home.
Oh.
It's from Omar.
Omar. I like you, Omar. You get a ticket.
All right, so there you go. There are your
so
five
So, Omar,
winners.
That's it, right?
Yeah,
so,
that's fine.
And we're handling, but Greg, as far as Greg wins. Yeah, that's it. That's funny. The Liverpool joke, I get it. That's witty, but, you know, it doesn't apply to, you know, that's just a guy that wants to talk about his team.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I feel like Liverpool's not his team. He wanted to make fun of Liverpool.
He wants to talk about his team and how the other teams are worse than his team.
Yeah, so that's you know, there's a constant ongoing war and that I just don't get involved with. At one point, I actually said that on the air, and I got in trouble. I said, there's a reason why we got in boats 250 years ago to get away from this conversation. So, you know, that wasn't...
That's a great line.
That wasn't... I think Warren Barton turned green when I did that, and we were on the air. But, look... My apologies.
That's okay. We're used to it.
Yeah, my phone goes off almost every day.
Yeah, I should be more professional than that, but my phone
does
ring.
You used to do radio. Jeez.
Well, I know, but I would turn it off for my own radio program, not for yours.
That's okay. That's
now you're going to get a bunch of dings after that.
All right, I got to figure out what bet to make with you.
Yeah, so we win against Colorado. You got to pull those up to your knees, and I need pictures on Twitter.
Every day?
No, just once.
Just once?
Do.
Okay.
I don't need to see a picture of you every day.
Oh,
just one picture with some shorts, and those suckers pulled all the way up.
Guess what? I'll be there March 9th for the first USL game.
You will make it.
Yes.
Okay, that's against Austin Bolt. That should be good.
You get an expansion team for your first game. They're going soft on you.
I don't know about that. I think, you know, because they've already made a strong push in MLS.
Did they sign players that people know?
Yes.
Oh,
just
okay.
This week. Imovic signed this week, so he's a former – he played for Philadelphia. You wouldn't know him. I call him Obi-Wan Kenobi, but the this is a pretty good setup. Austin just looks like they got their act together. They're going Brazilian for the most part, so they've got a lot of very fast, talented guys. It'll be a good test.
Are you signing any more players?
How
complete is your roster?
Complete.
Okay. So what we see against the Colorado Rapids is what we'll see.
Well, what we're doing with Colorado, which is smart by them, is they want to play a reserve game prior to our game. So they want to try and see if they can really mess up my options because they don't want to, which is smart, but that's also them in the same boat that I'm in. We want to get guys games. You want to get guys in rhythm. So
very, very important for them to win this preseason game. So they play the reserve game ahead of time.
I don't think that we should look at it that way. It's important to us, and that's good. If we're always pushing, I didn't put that much stock into it. I think once we won the game 5-1, I think a lot of people got carried away. But of course, I'm going to defend my players.
Of course,
you should learn who these guys are. Number 10, Chris Hernandez, Tripa is on the back of his shirt. I think a lot of people in this town, if they come to the game, will walk away and say, okay, number 10's talented.
They'll do what you did with Chris Clyburn.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe, okay.
I don't know, but I think that it's pretty obvious the kid's talented. And, you know, if we can put a string a couple of good results together, people will start falling in love with my team. That's all I care about. It's just, if you're going to come to watch us play, you're going to see a great soccer team. I mean, we don't look at levels. We don't say we're MLS level or USL level or NPSL or whatever you want to call it. It's we are the level who we are. And we could, you know, and that's the way I look at my team at all times. You just beat the team that's in front of you. Now, the problem is sometimes you play to the level that you're up against. When you can go past that and you can be clearly the better team like we did against Toronto, that people take notice. So that's the goal, man. You keep smiling over there. You're just waiting for him to get all cynical and skeptical, but he didn't do it that time. So
nope. Last question for you.
Yeah, because you're like watching the clock. You got to get the break, right?
Yeah.
Is that what?
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I see.
Last question for you.
Yeah.
Do we get a friendly against Puebla next year?
Puebla?
Yep.
Puebla? So we can have the Chalice versus... You're operating under the assumption that Chalice will still be there.
He's Eric Winalda, manager of Lights FC. They play the Colorado Rapids at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Thanks, Eric.
Always.
Get in touch with the show on Twitter at @Bischoff_Tyler. Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants.
No, I don't want to go to a party in your pants.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants!
Bischoff's Briefs.
Very well.
UNLV football is ranked 100th in the initial S&P Plus ranking.
Can you do that throat clearing you just did before you opened the mics?
No.
Oh, I just wanted everybody else to hear it since I had to hear it. No?
Well, there was a reason I did it before I opened the mics.
I know, but it was a thing of beauty.
Such an ass.
So, football study hall from Bill Connolly. These are the efficiency rankings that I love so much. For a little bit of context for you, Tony Sanchez era. His first year, they were 116, jumped up to 114, then 113. They were 106 last year. So there's been a slight improvement in efficiency rankings every year under Sanchez, so 100 would be the best. The problem, though, is when you compare it to their schedule, San Jose State's 117, Colorado State's 109, and those are the only two teams on their schedule rated below them.
Ooh.
They do have Southern Utah, who's not D1, who wouldn't show up on here. So if you just looked at this, you would say there's only three games that UNLV will be favored to win, and they need to win six. There are a couple other teams, Hawaii's 94, Wyoming's 92, and Nevada's 83, that aren't that much farther ahead of UNLV. But then the next worst team is Arkansas State at 70, and then Northwestern, San Diego State, Vandy, Fresno State are all right in the 51 to 57 range, and Boise State's 24. It's a tough schedule.
Yeah.
It's a really tough schedule. They're going to have to, like, if they're going to make a bowl game, if Tony Sanchez is going to make a bowl game, they're going to have to upset teams that they're not supposed to beat, which they do. They do that every year, but then they can't return the favor and lose to San Jose State. Like, that's what has to happen.
Which is what they do.
Yeah, they do that. They do that part, too. They always win one. You're like, oh, they got no chance. Oh, wow. And then they go and lose to the worst team in college football. Like, that's what UNLV football has done. So, like, that's for them to make a bowl game next year. They're going to have to beat two, three teams that they're not expected to beat and not return it by losing to San Jose State.
Lights FC are giving away tickets to anyone with the same last name as a U.S. president.
All right. Thanks, Eric Winalda, for coming in. By the way, we've got to think of a good punishment for him on the our bet, I guess, since I get to wear socks. But they, Lights FC, for their game Saturday against the Rapids, they've officially invited all of the living U.S. presidents. And anybody, just any random person, who has the same last name as any president in U.S. history gets a free ticket to the game. And you wonder why I obsess about Jake Bischoff. It's a free ticket. There is a president with the last name Tyler, so I think that should count for me. Right?
Zachary Tyler? Yeah, all right.
No? Doesn't? There's a lot of last names there, by the way.
Well, Jefferson and Washington by itself. Like, those two last names should bring in, like, you know, a lot of people.
Should? I don't know. We'll see. Are they expecting bad attendance?
Well, after this promotion and then them, like us giving away tickets, that should pretty much sure.
Yeah,
they should be sold out. There's just going to be one empty seat, yours. I didn't have the thing ready. This isn't good. Oh, well.
Are you ready now?
No, I'm not. Could you fill for a second?
Yeah, Lights FC plays Colorado Rapids at 2 p.m. on Saturday. What did you do over there?
It closed. Sorry.
What, do you have this behind like six passwords?
Apparently. I'm apparently a moron.
Would you like me to read it? I have it in front of me.
With the NFL season only
4,104 hours
away, Technically Correct can exclusively report that the Raiders will play their 2019 season at
Legion Field, the 92-year-old stadium in Birmingham, Alabama, that seats 71,000 and is the home to UAB and the Birmingham Iron of the AAF. That's actually not a joke. That's real. Birmingham City Councilor William Parker wants the Raiders to play in Alabama. They're apparently partnering with Tucson, where the Arizona Wildcats play, to make a pitch for the Raiders to play four games in Tucson and four games in Birmingham. William Parker said, it's a great marriage waiting to happen. Legion Field opened in 1927.
Do it.
Like, at least the Raiders found another city that wants them, though. Right?
Found two.
That's right. That's right. They found two. By the way, Salt Lake City kind of wants them too.
Yeah,
there's kind of three.
All right, so they're
kind of.
I mean, technically, I want them here.
That's
early,
true. That's
but...
true. But Steve Sisolak doesn't. Cut that down. It is the home. So again, UAB football and the Birmingham Iron play there. So the Raiders might only be the third best team in Birmingham if they move there.
UAB football. That's compared to what, UAT?
Mbaki Jong had 12 points against Fresno State.
That was his first double-digit performance since BYU. Remember, he had the injury. He missed, what was that, four games, I think. But the interesting part, two parts of UNLV's offense that were interesting to me. First off, they tried some pick and pop with Mbaki Jong in the first half. Yikes, that's not a good strategy. It is the ideal offense to beat the ball screen defense that Fresno State was using. Just not with Mbaki Jong, with somebody that actually shoots from outside. So that was interesting that they tried that. The second thing was he missed a ton of layups in the first half, and I think it's mainly because of poor spacing. Like, this team's had good spacing recently, but for some reason in that first half, like, Mbaki Jong would catch the ball after somebody drove, and, like, Nick Blair standing there posting up, or Tom Boy's just chilling in the lane. And so somebody else would just come and block his shot, and it'd be like, oh. In the second half, he made a bunch of layups because they were like, get the hell outside, guys. Get out of the paint. So Mbaki Jong would catch it, and he'd just lay it in. Be good to go. So second half, they were much better.
The Golden Knights play the Arizona Coyotes at 7 p.m. tonight.
So I'll be at UNLV tonight. Ryan Wallace is going to join us tomorrow. The idea is he'll help us with that game. But in reality, we're just going to try to get him off topic. What we do,
I'll make lots of weird hand motions that he'll just be like, what was that?
My favorite part about playing teams not in the playoff picture in the West, like Arizona, they're not any good. They're 12th in the West. They're only 6 points out of the final playoff spot, though. And what's more fun is if you take the number one wild card spot and compare it to the last place team in the West, the Anaheim Ducks, there's only 8 points difference.
So they could go on a run.
That's four games. There's only four games separating the top wildcard team from the last place team in the West. The West is hilarious. Anaheim's goal differential. First off, every wildcard team and non-playoff team, negative goal differential. Anaheim is minus 55.
That seems like you'd have to be doing it on purpose.
Yes. That's very incredible how bad Anaheim is. But, you know, if they win like six of their next nine, they'll probably be in a playoff spot.
UNLV hosts Air Force at 7 p.m. tonight.
It's on CBS Sports Network. You can also listen here. Fun fact, UNLV is 26-2 against Air Force all time at home. They don't lose this game very often. KenPom has UNLV winning by 9, which is stupid. They're going to win by 10 or lose by 17. That's how this works. KenPom actually has UNLV favored in the next four games. Air Force, San Jose State, Wyoming, San Diego State. If they actually won all four of those, they'd be 10-5 if not in West play.
Wow, that's a weird way to get to, what, 10-8, 10-9?
And then they lose the rest of them after that? No, like, I mean, KenPom has them favored to go to get to 11 wins in conference play. So... Colorado State's
okay.
Left.
I was
who messes it up, Air Force, tonight?
Yeah, who messes around and upsets them in a weird way?
Yeah, it's Air Force.
Do you have a game prediction?
UNLV wins by 17.
All right.
87-70.
Former Raider Jamarcus Russell has signed in the AAF.
With Birmingham, right?
Isn't that
the team? He's going to be there and the Raiders are going to join him and he's going to be like, hey guys, I'll come play for you again.
It's going to be weird. But
Is he going to play?
He just signed. I don't know. Like, it's just weird that he's 33 years old. And I'm just absolutely perplexed by this concept of, like, dude, you really haven't done anything.
What do you mean? Who cares? Trent Richardson's in the league.
He was playing in the CFL, and he was, like, good in the CFL.
Whatever.
I watched the CFL, and, like, Trent Richardson legitimately probably should have stayed in the CFL and, like, played in the CFL.
He has to play in Canada. It's cold in Canada.
Okay. But at least he's playing professional football.
Also, you only get three downs, so you have to pass it all the time. Sucks for a running back.
You also only get three downs, and if you hand it off to the running back and he gets 10 yards, then, I mean,
Richardson's not running for 10 yards.
He is in Canada, because those dudes are so little that he's just like...
Where's Johnny Manziel in the AAF? That's what they need.
Fairly certain he makes more money in Canada.
Yeah, but the AAF needs him. They need to make an exception.
I've been seeing these AAF Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yes. Oh, that'd be great.
I'm not a big fan.
That's what they need. Yes, go to break. We have a very short last segment coming.
You're listening to Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff, brought to you by Boyd Gaming.
There's a twist on it.
We should have thought of that.
It's still a stupid
joke. It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yeah, it's just a little turnabout.
Tyler Bischoff is Technically Correct.
We have bad news for Jake Bischoff's high, high hopes to play for the Golden Knights, or my high hopes for him to play. Nick Holden has returned to the ice. He is not practicing with the team, but he is skating, prior or after practice. That's bad news, because as soon as Nick Holden is back from IR, Jake Bischoff goes back to the minor leagues, unless, of course, somebody else gets hurt.
Yeah, or you trade Brandon Peary.
That would not help Jake Bischoff at all.
Why not?
They don't play the same position.
Wait, they're limited roster spots by position?
No, but Jake Bischoff is only on the team because a defenseman is hurt.
Yeah, but then they'd have an open roster spot if they...
They would not use it on Jake Bischoff.
Why not?
Because he's not the same position.
This is confusing, man.
What do you mean? If you have a baseball team and relievers gets hurt, do you call up a second baseman?
1 minute. I'm being purposely obtuse.
I know you are. Gerard Gallant was on the VGK Insider Show yesterday. He said something interesting in regards to he doesn't necessarily want scoring from the third line. or that other people think the third line needs to score. And he was like, nah, man, we got guys that score. First off, that's very interesting to say we don't want this line to score. Like, I figure like you want every line to score, but his thought process is, hey, just go out there and don't screw up. It's fun. But that's not great news for Brandon Peary.
The Jamarcus Russell news was fake news. Damn.
Oh, my God. You know what the name of this show is?
Technically correct.
You have one...
Besmirched.
You have one piece of content to bring to the show every day, and you bring something that's not real?
My bad.
Come on. Fake news with Jamarcus Russell. You kidding me?
Tyler, you're a bitch.